21 minutes to 9. Welcome back to Sabah on Muslim and Radio Islam International. It's part 3 now of our discussion, why are so many women single? It's part of our focus on women during this month of August, and we are running the campaign with the hashtag RIY Women. And if you missed the panel discussion on Monday with Umi Abdullah and different muallimas, the podcast is up on Radio Islam International's website. I would suggest that you listen to it, and you get in tune with the kind of discussions that we are having this month, because that was the launch discussion. There are a few more topics that will come in the coming days, inshallah, on Sabah al-Muslim, and I know that Mufti Musaji is also discussing a few aspects pertaining to the kind of theme that we have for our focus this Women's Month. Now, in the last two discussions, I've run through the list, and then I've explained briefly the different reasons why women end up being single. And we spoke about them not believing that there's someone out there. Now, I want to give a bit of perspective on each one of these. The first one that we spoke about, not believing someone is out there. In other words, believing that all the good ones are taken. And that is a problem that many people have in life in general. You know, they think all the good jobs are taken, they think all the good spouses are taken, they think all the good schools are taken. And that is just, you know, laziness in one way, and unjustified negativity in another way. You don't have to look like a supermodel to get a good husband. There are many people who, I would say, for the want of a better description, have average looks, but they get good spouses. You need to be positive. You need to understand that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, "Ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi," I treat you as per your expectation of me. I treat you as per your expectation of me. So you also need to lower your standards somewhat. You cannot expect, to want a person who's financially well off. At the same time, he's got the best manners and character. At the same time, he's DDG. He's drop dead gorgeous. He looks like a hunk. And then if you have that kind of a criteria, then there won't be somebody out there for you. And you need to. I'm not saying drop your standards so low that you compromise a potential marriage and that you start settling for that which you're not supposed to be settling for. But there are good people out there. Not perfect people, but good people. Then we spoke about the fear of divorce. Many women don't want to get married because they fear divorce. Now, we cannot deny that divorce is more rife these days. And it's a different debate as to whether it could have been as rife in previous generations, and that perhaps maybe women just stuck it out because the whole social construct in those days was different. But the reality is that divorce is rife. You hear about divorce after 6 months and after 12 months, and you hear about ugly spats and divorces and families at each other's throats. But, you know, many times when I say, when people share this concern with me, both male and female, I say to them, listen, nobody says I'm not going to go into business because fraud is so rife. I'm not going to go into business because corruption is so rife. I'm not going to try and earn, I'm not going to apply for a job because these days you have so many bad employers. Or I'm not going to employ anyone because these days you have so many employees running to the CCMA. It just doesn't work like this. There are certain things in life which are essential. There are certain things in life which are important. If there's problems associated with it, then you need to look at those problems. Yes, you need to be a bit more careful. You need to be more thorough in your research on the prospective spouse. You need to be more thorough in your mashwara, in your istikhara process. But ultimately, you know, marriage is not one of those nice-to-have things. Let's be honest. On the one hand, we won't say that it is fundamentally compulsory, or that as a default position it's compulsory. And I'll explain this a little later. But at the same, we can't go to the other extreme and consider the marriage to be one of those nice things to have in life. And therefore, if there's any negativity that's potentially associated with it, that, we'll just leave it out. The other reason was fear of responsibilities. Yes, there's no doubt that the marriage comes with many responsibilities for the female, in terms of the children, in terms of the husband, in terms of these days financial responsibilities, etc. But remember one thing, life is about responsibilities. Allah did not send us to this world just to exist in a kind of way where you float through life. Life is about responsibilities. And sometimes people grow up in just too much of a carefree manner. And I think this is where parents also need to understand their part in all of us. You bring up your children in just too much of a carefree manner. You don't teach them about responsibilities. And therefore, they don't want to take responsibility. In some of them, it would manifest itself in this kind of a situation where they're not willing to get married because they don't want the responsibilities associated with marriage. Others, You know, they don't want to take any responsibility in their work environment, in their community environment. They just don't want to take responsibility. It's partially laziness, it's partially a fear of consequences, of getting it wrong. But look, at the end of the day, when you are able to adequately fulfill your responsibilities, there's a great degree of satisfaction. And that's where, you know, the other part comes in. The fear of lack of freedom. Having freedom to just live your life as it is not necessarily going to make you happier. In the end of the day, okay, you can have a freedom. You don't have to worry about a husband to cook for, children to look after, or you don't have to worry about carpool and you know, school rounds, and you don't have to worry about earning an income on top of all of that. You know, you just live a carefree life. But then that doesn't, you know, that isn't without its deficits, if I can put it that way. You come home to nobody at night, which is also a challenge for some others may be able to deal with it. You don't have that companionship. You don't have that ability to share your experiences in life, both positive and negative. So, you know, freedom is how we understand it and how we perceive it. Marriage grants you freedom from many other things. You know, emotional insecurity, if the marriage is stable, the fear that nobody has your back, nobody's there that you can rely on, there's nobody that you can fall back on. So, yes, it may curtail some of your freedoms. It may curtail some of your freedoms, I'm not denying that, but it opens up the door for many other freedoms. This discussion is taking much longer than I initially thought, but I think it's important. So I leave it there for today, but inshallah, in the coming days, we will continue this discussion, and we will put up each discussion as a podcast on the website. It's 14 to 9, we go for a quick break. When we come back, we are talking about Inkandla. We will speak to Imsabisi Ndlatyana, who has written an article about Inkandla 3, or Inkandla Part 3, and we talk about the contents and the viewpoints in that article. Stay tuned.